jealousy. So this is what happens among your friends, okay, Evan?
Yes.
That's between you and me.
You're right.
Yeah. And the congeniality of any circle of friends depends upon a common social convention, a common ritual, and common pleasures of relaxation. These aids to intimacy are no less important for the communication of meaning in words than the possession of a common subject upon which the several parties are informed. Okay, so they're meeting up there in Langley, Virginia, or someplace about Syria right now. All right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, do they have this intimacy? Well, Eliot says, it is unfortunate for a man when his friends and his business associates are two unrelated groups. It is also narrowing when they are one and the same group. So there's this very interesting tactile interplay between how much you bring your personal friendship self into your business work and how much your business work goes into yourself, into your private social self. So he's laying this out, that this is not being dealt with properly. So then Don Thiel comes in to translate what I just read from T.S. Eliot. This common tradition and inheritance is only meaningful if the understanding extends beyond understanding to the point where there is a communication of emotional states and attitudes, where insights of various members of the elite may come into the range of vision and comprehension of each member of the group because it is the vortex of the society. If the insights of the scientist, the politician, the philosopher, and the poet lose this mutual relevance, there are dangerous segmentations in the cultural picture, and while diverse fields may use the same technique, much of their intellectual power will be lost if each considers the problem in its own field in a vacuum. Today, the problem, this is in the 50s, today the problem is intensified by the mass of publication coupled with the lack of conversation. So, you know, all this magazine stuff that's going on in the 50s and new TV world. This has resulted in a demand for security and the publication of those texts which are formed from received wisdom, and hence will cater to the more facile emotional reflexes and not worry the mind with the ever-growing gaps in societal communication. That was written 60 years ago.
Wow.
Think of that.
Wow.
So it goes on about, let me see if I got another section here, about how the flow between the lowbrow culture and the highbrow culture is really important for a healthy situation in society. And if you tend to retreat into your social group, after business meetings and that, or social activist meetings, and miss this larger ecology going on, the society's a lot poorer for it. So I thought I'd bring in this very sophisticated relation of art, poetry, culture, and communication to the issues of today. Now, here is the punchline. First of all, the media college people don't even know this stuff, okay? Very juvenile what they write and how they approach media ecology. Mm-hmm. But if you bring in the sophistication I just laid out, then look at how the Android meme has taken over what Don and T.S. Eliot are advocating. We don't have any poets and artists and people in any position. The Bilderbergers aren't in any position of power. The human being, the chemical body is on the sidelines. What has taken over? An image of society in action, the Android meme, where it presents this situation. So you take Miley Cyrus, all right? So she apparently did something excellent or poor, depending on which society. Is that high culture or low culture? It's neither. It's Android meme pretending a simulation of high culture or low culture, depending on your subscription to MTV or what you're into, right?
Very good.
So I'm saying all that I'm writing, all I'm reading, is what goes on in the communication society. In other words, the Android meme is acting out the effort at media ecology that T.S. Eliot and Wyndham Lewis and these guys were sort of just envisioning 80 years ago, and then Marshall McLuhan put into a special discipline. So I'm hoping this is I'm giving people a little bit of elitist culture mixed in with my full awareness of the top-down, bottom-up dynamics. I know all about Skip James, the greatest blues magician, and all that stuff. So I got here Finnegan's Wake, T.S. Eliot, and Skip James, and Miley Cyrus. And that's my layout for today. I leave it to the callers to unravel what the heck my point is.
Well, you know what? What I think is stupendous about you, Bob, is that there's this parallel with this book that came out about Winston Churchill being a psychic, and it's talking about his V sign was actually a druid symbol, and that the wartime leader was a psychic and an expert in astrology. And his statement is that how far back you look in history is how far ahead you can see into the future. And that's what you do, Bob. You sat there and you sit, and I don't think you sleep, but you amass this throughput. I don't know how many eyes you have. I don't, you know, it's just amazing, just what you have laid out. And it dovetails so nicely with what we're going to look at, which is an excerpt from a talk that Ion did from a private session.
It's a private session.
Right.
Where a client, Joyce, is interacting with Ion and has heard a little bit on what Ion said about love is not an emotion.
Hold it. Let's say that. But let me go to this because, what's interesting, Wyndham Luce and him talking about the upper and lower society, etc., and what's highbrow, for one, that he says the highbrow are those that are conscious. And so that has nothing to do with material. That has to do with your non-physical. And I think that's interesting because it doesn't wrap it straight into the high society being, being rich, monetary.
Sophisticated. Yeah,
yes.
They're more sophisticated. And Ion's all for the one percenters, but he says the one percenters are whosoever will engage with things like Ion.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It has nothing to do with finance, but it just has to do with where your consciousness is. And I think that is something that is brilliant. And like I've said so many times, you don't know who your family is going to be because they're not going to come in a material body. They're going to come with this spirit and this soul. And that the idea of Don Thiel talking about a new rhythm, that rhythm is of the heart and love, and that seems to be definitely what's missing from...
Oh, wait, let me just add to that. I just reading this today. It's not only the heart, it's the central nervous system and the digestive system. The whole body should be a metaphor for holistic involvement, just the heart.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about the heart just because of its beat. And how the rhythms of our life reflect that. Music reflects that beat, you know,
Bach made a lot of his compositions on the heartbeat.
Right.
That was his foundation.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take just like a really quick break. We're going to come back start playing Absurd. I queued it up. Hopefully it's still good for Ion. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Bob, I have so many notes. I'm so glad we recorded this. I really hope people play this back and back because you have answered a lot of questions but just pointed us in such a large direction to go. Bob Dobbs is on the line. You can find him at howionic.com. You have fivebody.com. He is on achieveradio.com. Is it going to be Saturday, starting this Saturday? When's that start, Bob?
This Saturday, August 31st at... 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show can go 10 hours long, so drop in any time.
Nice.
You're in California, 5 p.m. till 12, 2 in the morning.
Fantastic. All right, darlings. Number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Back in a moment. Project Next.
Toward the refinement of humankind.
Activism 4.0. Your portal will be found at projectnext.us. That's www.projectnext.us. And that next thing, Darlene, is happening as we speak. There has to be an extra tasty little element to our abilities to take care and to actually have a human scale and get into that quadrophenic mania. It is fantastic to have Bob back in the house. Oh, God, it is so good to mix it up at this level. What Bob has been so generous in doing is kind of like all the folks that he has spoken about, these higher-ups, they do confer with those on the other side. And Bob, you know Ion, howionic.com. We haven't heard from him in quite a while. I know that he is really busy. Well, Bob sent me off to this link up on informationfarm.blogspot.com. In it, it is a conversation about love. And it really dovetails, like I said, very nicely with what Bob was laying out, the idea of a new rhythm, the idea of the rhythm that this world has been operating under now. Just that not only do you have those four bodies, but they're enveloped. They're within something, and it's called love. So let's play this real quick, then we'll pick it up from there.
And you may even engage it and find out what the details of a tersion field is.
Oh, let me go back a little bit. I want you to, I want to go this. Okay, here we go.
Build them up. Well, those are forces inside the force. You had to fortify the
there are individual forces within a field of force, that makes sense.
And here's the example. Someone can say a sentence to you, and you go, thank you very much, have a nice day. But Bob could say the exact same sentence to you, and you could go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
The same identical words. One of your friends can say a sentence to you, and you go, I understand, no problem. But another friend can say the same exact words, and all of a sudden it sort of rips you at the seam.
And is that the sky either falling on a person or not falling on a person according to how it shifts?
It's how you take it. It's how you take it. And that's the force within the force field. Because one can cause an emotion and one can be pushed away as unemotional. Or you can say, well, you're just being emotional. Well, maybe I am, but it's my emotion. Yes, it is. But, you know, I'm not going to play in your emotion.
Joyce is lending it to us, and we never would have known that Ian said this unless Joyce pointed out to me. You'll find this pretty neat.
This is a session with Joyce being recorded on November 15th, copyright 2011.
I realized that I needed to come back to the beginning, so to speak, from the standpoint of making sure that I'm clear on love being a force field. When I was thinking about a force field, it's like, okay, well, what does that feel like? Not that you can see it. You know, what does it feel like, I guess?
Here's why you're coming back to it. Because it's changed. That's the qualifier. The element that you'll add to it that we said but didn't. We alluded to but didn't fully develop. And that's why you'd come back to there. It's just like you coming back into your place of power. Okay, here you go. Love is a force field. And you may even engage it and find out what the details of a torsion field is. What we're talking about, the shift of what this will get it right for you, is that when you add magnetism to the mix. Because magnetism, you think magnets attract, correct? And what they really do is repel only. Now you're saying, Ion, you're coming up with this crazy crap again.
Yeah.
So develop that, develop that. Okay, we will. You got two magnets. They're 2 inches long. And if you have opposing poles, yes, this is going to go into polarity a bit. And yes, that's on your list. And yes, that's why it applies to love as a force field. You have two magnets that have a north and south pole on either end. There is an electron magnetic charge within the poles of that magnet. You say, well, Ion, magnets attract, because when you put those two magnets together, they go click. And it's sometimes if they're strong magnets, they're difficult to pull apart, aren't they? But that's not what's taking place. What's actually happening is they're connecting, and you have two poles on a bigger magnet when they connect. See, you got two magnets.
Yes.
When they connect, you have one magnet with the same two poles. It connects to make it as an extension. Okay, you take the north-north end and try to put them together and they repel.
Yes.
That's what magnetism does, or is. You'd know this, and this is why it's great fun. Those magnetic screwdrivers where you pick up the screw with the magnetized screwdriver.
Yes.
Then you use it because it'll hold that screw just long enough till you get it to what you're doing. Well, if you're working with something that's metal, you notice you kind of got to get it right in the hole because once it touches the metal, it'll fall off. You have to kind of really stay with it. That's the thing, see? That extension cancels the screw and the magnet aspect. But that screw actually becomes an extension of that field. The screw is not drawn to the magnet. The screw becomes part, the extended pole of the magnet. Love is a force field. Love only repels.
Wow.
See, you use love to keep you together, and that's wonderful. You find yourself in a position where you have ability and capacity to share love with another. Well, if it's love, it extends the polarization field. So it makes no difference what they do, you still love them. And if you don't, or it isn't, it repels. And now you know the process. It's not that you didn't do something right. that made the love go south. Remember, the relationship went south. Well,
yes.
There's your polarity again. And it's a connecting connection. We're talking about the physical, darling. You know, loving somebody. But we could have the same conversation with them happy cookies of yours. You love them cookies, and we love that you love them cookies.
Yeah.
See, you don't repel the cookies, you embrace the cookies. You are one with the cookie. The cookie is one with you. That's okay, too. You know, we weren't going to go into an orgy story because you're like, that's great, Ion. Thanks so much for that. But cookies are way more interesting to me these days than engagement. And that's all right. We're just being clear. All right.
Okay.
You have frequency. We call it frequency, of course. You have frequency, you have polarity, and you have magnetism. Now, if you embrace that with love, now go back to the day. Love is a force field. It's what you contain and you include. Now, apply frequency, polarity, and magnetism. You have a very different conversation. You can gauge an engagement before you engage it. For example, if you got two magnets and you got them north to north, you already know, or you certainly knew, that they were not going to connect in a seamless bond. Can you change the frequency of a magnet to trick it into doing something else? Let's use the junkyard electromagnet. Now, what they use that for is to sort things that aren't metal and to move it around. And it's not magnetized. They put electricity in the electromagnet, and then it becomes a super-duper powerful magnet. Well, it's not attracting those things. Those things become an extension of the electromagnet.
That is from a private session from November 15th of 2011. Is that what that was from, Bob? Joyce?
Yes, but Joyce's and the first minute or two was from 2010, Carolyn talking to Ion, you know, almost 2 years before. The first minute or two you played with Carolyn's voice. Then it went into to Joyce, November 15th, 2011. Right.
Right, right. Yes, and so so this idea, and I remember you mentioning this to me, and this is the first time that I've heard Ion to get into this, the idea as love as a force field.
Emotion. The force field in your inner kingdom contains emotions, all emotions, but it is not emotion itself.
And so, well, it's interesting because people... You know, there's that song, You've Got the Look of Love, you know, and maybe that's like, you know, some kind of energy that comes out and, you know, is exudes.
The look of love.
Right.
Later, Ion quotes the Tina Turner song, What's Love Got to Do With It?
Well, yeah. I mean, so what comes first, the emotion or love, Bob? I mean, well, how is the force field activated and utilized?
Well, Ion says, you, Evan, have never had a beginning and won't have an end. So you're always here. And emotions are sort of created in space and time. So I would say your love force field has been here always. It's part of your eternity. It's your being. It's like your gravity. It's a thing that holds some part of your structure together. That's why, you know, the higher kinds of love, like agape and that, there's an interesting detachment. You know, the gurus, they love everybody. They're not emotionally involved, right? So they're actually just staying on the love as a force field level rather than getting into emotions.
Ah.
They're showing that.
So emotions, so how would you define, how do you guys understand emotions to be? What are they then?
Oh, that's the dynamic symmetry of tensions among proportions.
Okay.
The dynamic symmetry of tensions among proportions. In other words, your daily life and your interactions and what you identify with or what you notice or what you make an object or what you reject as an object. It's the ebb and flow, the sine wave of your breathing. You know, it's the fact that to live, you must have contrast. To be creative, you got to have contrast. You got to have something the night and the day, the tide ebbing and flowing. In the guff where you go when you transition, there is no contrast at all, it's just all bliss. So here it's got the fullness and then the emptiness, the fullness and emptiness. That is, and then cultural concepts come into that to define things called emotions or value judgments about how you're doing in the ebb and flow.
You know what? Stepping off this train of thought on love, just, I'm sorry. I should have asked this before. Going back to Wyndham Lewis and him talking about whether the Bilderbergers and these types actually have intimate meetings when they get together and just have business and don't, talk about their wives.
They don't bring their private intimacies into the business.
So
or if they do, they become a cult, and you know they don't know how to balance the intimacy and the general
power,
personal part of society.
Well, I was thinking about that scene out of Eyes Wide Shut, right?
Yes.
That orgy scene, which was like some kind of Bilderberger orgy scene, you know.
Oh. Some of my old party scenes, I've been I went around with the hood and all that, and the little elk horn or the goat horn. Yes, I have done that.
And so, what was that on a full moon? Was that when would those kind of parties happen?
Yeah. You mean me?
Yeah, you.
The movie. I'll be in it whenever we could get it going. Pretty horny back then. We didn't fucking wait for the full moon.
Hey. Jeez. Okay, hopefully I caught that.
Delete.
Yeah,
you start getting me into that other stuff, I just turn into another monster and forget where I am. So let's keep it proper.
Well, luckily it's late at night and lots of people would like to know about that. But no, I just thought that was interesting because it brought up that scene for me when they were talking about that.
You know what I had said to Joyce? He says that. Now, we like that you're into cookies. Now, you know, we could have gone talking about orgies and the love is forceful there, but we're sticking with the cookies. That's okay. So,
I was cracking up at that. I was absolutely cracking up at that. So, back into love, the force field, et cetera, the emotions being that dynamic tension amongst different proportions. Proportions of situations.
The ratios, you know?
Ratios, yes.
You're with somebody talking, and another person comes in and alters the rhythm of the scene in the office, you know
right.
what I mean? And
right.
So the different proportions, A is to B, becomes C is to A. And then someone else comes in, or someone leaves. That jockeying for, balance within the emotions that people bring to you and you give back to them, that's living. That's the life. That's what Krishnamurti used to talk about. Emotion was our way of gauging what was going on.
But and so over what amount of time, how in the very beginning of this talk where Carolyn's talking with Ion, they talk about the rules and regulations, and this is a huge thing. I think that is a stopping point for people healing, for people discovering themselves, making new breakthroughs, and I talk from experience fully, having my own, limiting sets of rules and regulations, and it affects the force field of love. And I thought what Ion was talking about, that was very interesting. How would you paraphrase how Ion talks about how those work together?
Ion says that you, whatever you is, can modulate, ramp up your force field and ramp it down. Now, I'm not sure what the thing is, what we call that tactile interplay, that will, that agency that does that, but it can do whatever it wants with the force field. Move it up or down to close it, not let anybody affect it somehow, or open it up. So now, the judgment of how you're doing that brings in rules, which are usually tied to emotions. So there's an interplay between the emotions and the rules with the force field. So it doesn't become so precise of where the force field is. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But you begin with the definition that it contains emotions. Then you start playing with it. That's how the rules and regulations come in there. Because, you got three parts, your physical, your non-physical, and the labyrinth of your mind. All three are important. And if you want to sort of change your rules, you can't get rid of rule-making completely. You will bring in new rules, overlay new rules, and then you'll have that as part of one-third of your being, your mind and its labyrinth. So the rules are your adjustment to what you think is being preserved.
Does something about the idea that when you do not love yourself, for the force field, it sets it up in a repel mode. Did I understand that right?
He says the love force field, just like the, it's made up of frequency, magnetism, and polarity.
Right.
As those factors come into it, your main action on the magnetism level is repelling. So your force field repels a lot. Now, that doesn't mean emotion. It's like a technical statement. It's like the weather. And I'm not fully prepared to say anything more about that because we're still playing this series. We've done many hours, and you can see them on information.blogspot.com. What the Hell is Love? Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, and Part 4 will be played this Saturday. It's ongoing, and you find with ION that no precise definitions apply. Here's why I played the Joyce excerpt, which came 2 years after what I was playing from early 2010, is that he says it's changed. He brings in these other factors of love as a force field involving magnetism, frequency, polarity, and your own willfulness in it that he did not indicate at all 2 years before.
Hmm.
So you find this is what's great about it. He's the only sage wise voice that is more fickle than your 8-year-old daughter. You know, the thing is, he's changing to make you aware of how your mind and perceptions are always changing. And so we've never had a source of wisdom, an oracle, that went through and mimed the changes humans go through. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And now there's an order underlying it, but you're not going to be able to say, okay, Ion said this, and say, okay, I know what Ion means, because if you actually tune out and never listen to Ion again, you're not going to notice that 6 months later he's saying the exact opposite. As a matter of fact, because he's showing the way the mind's always looking for something, and Ion's always undermining the action of the mind, trying to get a stable rule that'll have tyranny forever. There's, you say something.
Well, love, right? Is that one that will never go away in his architecture and the rules of existence?
That's a good question, because he says, the ascended person, it doesn't look like us. It can be look like us, but way more than the structure. So Ion is talking to the little man who has three kingdoms, the outer kingdom, inner kingdom, and the middle kingdom, and that's a structure the little people think they need. But the ascended person doesn't have any of that kind of structure. And the ascended person doesn't even have desire. They can engage desire, but they don't even have it. So that's the complexity that gets into these scenarios that Ion lays out, these triangulations of situations. And then you think you've got everything organized, and then he undermines it. About 4 months ago...
Well, you know what? We're just coming up on the top of the hour. One moment on that. Bob Dobbs here on KPFK. Long time. So lovely to have him back. You guys, come on down. We have callers on the line. The number here is 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. We're going to take your calls this next half hour and continue just this, what would that nice little torsion spiral... through goodness, Bob, Ion, and all of you here at KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and let's see, 93.7 in San Diego, streaming worldwide at kpfk.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back in around 10 seconds. Project Next.
Purifying the humankind.
The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Bob, you were just going to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Four months ago, we played an interview with Ion, that happened at that point last April or so, and Ion said that everything that they have said, you better re-ask the questions and bring up the topics again. He said, everything's changed over the last couple of years. And this is after the 2012 archetype, too, right? December, Mayan calendar and all that stuff. He says, everything's changed. Time has ended. And you need to re-ask all the topics that you did ask about again.
Wow.
Meaning we're going to get different answers. So I play with the idea of love's a force field, but I know I spent over 6,000 hours with Ion, so I know it's going to change. So I had forgotten that it happened in Joyce's private session, but I was really happy she pointed out to me because that illustrated what I tell people about. Hey, don't get too into defining and memorizing what I am saying right today, because you're going to say something different later, because the way your mind is looking for definition is what Ion undermines. but he at the same time does satisfy your mind's desire for patterns, and he lays out really good patterns that you can play with as long as you are interested.
Let's take a call.
Okay.
Hi, caller one. You're on with Bob.
Hi, caller one. It's me, right?
Yes, yes. Just turn down your radio, dear.
Okay. Hi, Evan.
Hi.
It's Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome, dear. Good morning to you, and thanks for coming on to talk with Bob.
Yeah, you're welcome. No problem. So, I'll give you my my reason for calling you, because I thought you got a little bit confused by what you're trying to understand as to how to understand what love is, or how to understand the what emotions are. My understanding of the word emotions is that it's based on a combination of I'll give you the first thing. I had a little bit of Scientology when I was in the last 20 years. I've been using various knowledge things from Scientology.
Yes.
And it's been able to help me understand better about the human mind and the problems that we face with regard to everyday life. And so anybody can look at this, but just to clear it up for you, in case you wanted to have anybody's feedback.
Yes.
This is what I understand about emotions.
Yes.
Emotions comes from it comes from ourselves, because we are basically spiritual beings, and your emotions can range anywhere from various levels of, so to speak. In other words, you can be at grief at one moment, and then you can be at anger in another moment.
True.
You know, it all depends on your reaction to life, you know, to whatever is happening to you. So, you know, something can bring up from your past, and you may feel angry about that, or you may be feeling sad or fearful about that. Those are all emotions. Of course, in psychotherapy, usually you'll hear a psychologist or a psychiatrist say that these are the things that human beings experience, which is either mad, bad, sad, or glad, which is one way of kind of lumping, four of the main emotions that human beings feel. Essentially, emotion is, if you're going to break it into its component parts,
yeah,
etymologically, you have E, which is out, that E refers to out in the etymology of the letter E when in reference to a word.
Okay.
And so emotion is outward motion.
Oh, okay.
So it's coming from you, and you're expressing it. So that's the outward part.
Mm.
So motion is your reaction to various things, and there's this outward flow coming from you, and that's
okay,
basically what you're responding to, or what you're reacting to.
Okay, well, I appreciate your insight, darling.
Okay, Evan, but I want to ask Adam.
Adam,
then what is, how do you explain love as a force field and not an emotion?
Oh, okay. Thanks for asking me that. I was going to offer that too, but you know, I understand we should feel a little pressed for time. Maybe other callers have some other ideas. Well, in my understanding, since the emotions can range, as I said, they can go all the way down to levels even below grief. But in answer to your question, just so you understand that they can go all the way down below grief to even and go all the way up to a level which is referred to as serenity of beingness. And you can interpret serenity of beingness as you're having almost like no response on any mental level. Nothing in your mind is involved when you are responding at that level, because, as I said, emotions are a response to your world, to your environment, to whatever is happening to you at the time. So if you're, you know, so to speak, if you love somebody, you're below that level where you're not responding. So love is just basically, the definition of love is very strong liking for someone or something. So,
okay.
In a sense, it's connected with emotion. But, you know, in terms of it being a force, well, that's something that I have never heard before. But you could consider that, too, as long as you understand that if you're in serenity of beingness, which is the highest level of emotion, according to Scientology's literature and knowledge, that you're, you know, when you're at that level, anything below that is where you're involving your mind. So,
okay.
Again, love is, you love somebody, you know, and it's more than likely that you're responding to it on some degree of emotional level.
Okay. That's, you know what, I mean, what you talked about, I think, is pretty common knowledge, and I'm glad to see that whatever the message is that you're getting in Scientology is you know utilizing information that you know that is pretty well available out in the in the general public. But I think you did just answer Bob's question. I think you did.
No clue.
Okay, but he answered it from his perspective, and I'm just thinking about it.
We're not interested in people's perspectives or my perspective. We're trying to talk technically what this technical voice ion says.
Right. Well then, you know
okay.
what? Then
like I said, I have not heard
right.
of love being a force field. I
okay.
just said it. I
Great.
You consider it that way.
Right.
But that's another person's interpretation
yeah.
of it. It's just that I was giving you the.
Right.
What you refer to as common knowledge,
yeah.
and that can be discovered. You can read up about it.
Yeah, it's pretty common. Yeah, I mean, but
yeah.
I appreciate your help and your perspective, darling. And thank
Thanks
you so much.
Thanks for reminding us. Thanks for reminding
thank,
us.
Thank you. All right, that was great. Thank you, darling. Have a great day. Thank you.
Yes,
the number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Definitely all of these things come from us as the creators that we are. It's
Ion
just
came from us, Eben.
Well,
humans created the guff, and we created a non-physical. Ascended people don't require a non-physical, or it's not something separate from the physical. It's merged. So this whole notion of a non-physical creating this gulf that we go into excessive bliss with is something we created in an unascended state. And Ion's here. He says, I've woken the gulf up, and they're here to create. They're no longer going to be the gulf anymore.
So where do people go when they die?
They'll come right back here because the gulf won't be there.
Wow.
They'll be forced by default to be eternal.
Will they come back as a human being?
Yes, that's all. They already are. They'll just come back and then realize there's all these other people who were conscious and didn't have to transition, and they'll have to mingle with them, and they'll find out, oh, I was always here. I didn't have to set up this crazy scenario of dying and pretending that I was limited. So they'll be shocked when they first engage their eternity.
Okay, so let's get back into this force field that is love. So, Bob, in your outwardly, inwardly travels, how do you experience love? How do you experience this force field?
I give it no thought at all.
But it's there. It's with you eternally.
I wouldn't limit myself to those definitions. I've had a pretty lucky life, and people could project it. Oh, man, he's got his love slack going. He's really groovy. I don't put any definitions on it. I have no clue what love is. I'm not interested, and I assume I'm doing okay with it. It likes me.
Okay. Well, so what kind of force field or what kind of thing do you acknowledge then, if not that?
None. I just assume whatever I require, it happens.
What do you require? Well, okay.
Yeah, I hardly require anything. I'm actually a rather dull person, you know.
Bob, you're real dull. That's the word I would use. Okay, you're maybe you're being shy. I don't want to like go into that that kind of deal.
I do affect the waves when I go to the beach every day.
Okay, is that your what are you using to do that?
The more thought I put on to it, it doesn't work. But I notice every time I get to the beach, it's sort of flat. And then I get in the water, and all of a sudden there's these huge waves, and everybody's running and screaming. And I said, I did it again. And then, so there's big waves for about 20 minutes, and then I leave, and it all dies down. Now, Ion told me that I was doing this 3 years ago, and I didn't realize it. But shortly after, I started to notice, or maybe the same time I was going to notice it anyways, and Ion knew I was going to notice it, so wanted to get in that it noticed it before I did. And I started to notice this pattern.
Yes.
Now I don't even give it any thought, but that's an example of quote, some kind of power that we all have that I'm activating in my context here. Is that because I'm a loving person? I don't know.
Well, you love the ocean. I mean, you love waves. That's why they come.
Yeah, I love waves. So, yeah, my force field becomes conscious there.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think that what you had brought out, the idea of this new rhythm and how that comes into what we can affect, and understanding that love as a field has frequency, polarity, and magnetism, and that when two folks in love come together, that their love force fields merge. Is that what it is?
Ion says that once you love somebody, you can never stop that. You may divorce them, you may hate them, but actually underneath, you've hooked in your magnetic love fields, and they are forever intertwined, and you might have emotional aberrations from that, but you never can unlove somebody. You've sort of opened yourself up to and hooked your magnets together.
Well, I guess that's why it always hurts so much when you come across that person. You're still so, there's that imprint.
Yeah.
A thing that comes with that. So how?
I want to say this. I liked Adam saying that he never heard that idea before. Ion is the most original voice of the last 15 or 20 or more years. He says all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you a really good one. We are, the ones using RNA drops are defusing the global warming ozone layer envelope of trapped carbon dioxide or whatever it is around
right.
the planet.
Okay.
Because the RNA drops are made up of 122 atoms of carbon, 197 atoms of hydrogen, and 98 atoms of oxygen. When we make our RNA drops in the lab, it grabs so many carbon atoms that it's eating up the thing around us.
Oh.
So there's an original scenario. No other group has to come out and say, well, our little food that we eat is eating up the... through our exhalation and in the making of it, is eating up the global warming, and we're solving it. Now, how's that for a credible, original statement?
That's, Bob, come on. every time you are on this radio station, you always have your, I mean, that's just who you are. That's just what you bring. And,
I hope Roy appreciates it. I never get any response. I email Roy all the time. He ignores my emails. I wish he would get on board.
I know Roy appreciates all diversity of thought and contribution to making this world beautiful and interesting and dynamic, and there you are, Bob, and all of your splendor. It's just that Roy gets, you know, he's very, very popular. He's remained very incognito. I'm so lucky I get to see him here. So, you know, he always has to be incognito.
Down at his phone or computer.
He's hard working, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Processing information.
Well, you know, and just bringing out all just amazing knowledge over all these years. So yeah, it's nothing personal. It's just busyness. For sure, absolutely. And
well, the INET say, they don't say I love anybody now. They go, I force field you.
I force field you. I guess I field you or I force you doesn't really sound that great. So
no.
Force field you. Might as well just say love, you know, completely and in that way.
Any more callers?
No, Bob. You can call out bring
more of the excerpt then.
Oh, okay. Hold it. Let me go back. Yeah, the number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Bob is back. I am absolutely ecstatic. It is always something to catch up and to
breathe. And you know what we did, Evan? Our last time I was on was November 22nd, 2012, and we laid out the causes of the Kennedy assassination, looked that up in the archives, very important, as we sail into the big hoopla over the next few months. We did it on the first night of that year, of this anniversary year.
You know what? I remember that, and it's it was just this time where we could not get enough. There was you were just unleashing it, Bob, and I think that the folks initially still don't understand that you're serious and that you know things. But hey, we just keep on, you know, keeping on and keep on trying. Let's see where we are with our talk here. Okay, here it is. We're gonna play some more.
Research on love. Me, of course, with me. Oh, that's good.
All right.
She heard the two sessions, so she has some questions.
You said your force field is not serving you because you aren't loving yourself. So is your force field created when you love yourself?
Not necessarily.
Why is that so low now?
Love is a force field. And we're trying to bring in the application of how you got a lover who loves the ultimate goal.
I think it's too low at this point.
On your website, this won't fly. But yes.
Yeah,
but that's what happened. So
you know what? It's so low now.
Raised James, he gave up Catholicism.
And then you get over it, and then you go, Ion, I'm on this merry-go-round. And then we'd be cheeky, and we'd say,
yeah.
Rejoice!
Somehow our audio is a little bit too low on this, Bob. I think we're just going to have to let Ion rest for a moment here. I think the conversation, somehow the computer or something on here was just a little bit, it was just way too low. And so.
Did you do some editing, or are you just playing straight from Information Farm?
I just went straight to, I queued up Information Farm.
Right. Okay.
Right, from there.
And all right. So let's go into whatever you want to talk about then.
Yeah. And so, what I want for you to help us in realizing from this quadriphenic state right now is because we are so attuned to bloody radio, to all the violence, to you know all of the trauma out there, to this victim. Just this perpetual victimization that is happening to this planet at this time. And so here it is, Syrian war that's possibly going to happen, and the reaction of people to it. What is going on from your perspective, Bob, with like the – maybe I've asked this before because we've been at this crisis part before with Libya, et cetera. Here we are again with Syria. You were talking about Ion helping us create – pattern recognition, and then at the other end, saying relax, you know, and allow, get the power, bring the future that you want. But yet here we are, right in front of our face, the very same crap. You know, Snowden coming out and telling us, you know, what's going on in the world, and what are we doing about it? Does it make sense the way people are reacting to this? Why do we seem so castrated?
Because we think that the media is talking to us. We don't recognize that the Android meme is talking to itself, to its different parts. And so anybody can take any news story and go investigate on their own, and it's not going to be the way they heard the Android meme say it.
Okay.
So you diminish your stress if you realize the media is not talking to you, and to the degree you react to it, you cannot influence it.
Hmm.
You cannot influence the world's events as they're recorded. You can influence anybody or anything in your own personal relationships. Maybe not even that much can you influence anybody. So if you detach yourself and not worry about what the information is telling you, doesn't mean you, it's not going on, but the description of it is not relevant. You don't need to track it. And the more happy you get or the relaxed, you will emanate that in the world. Because Ion says many times that, yes, Bob, if you and Karen were in San Francisco and there was an earthquake, you guys wouldn't be affected by it. So this is a profound idea that the world may be falling all over there, but it ain't going to fall on you if you don't engage the idea. Now, this doesn't mean to put your head in the sand I can get on there and have all kinds of yellings and screamings and protests I can go to, but I also recognize the limitation of it, or that it's a small part. Why should I even bother communicating to anybody? Right? Well, if I can exist in happiness in my situation without any communication, then that's probably how it began. That's the way the cavemen were, and how it'll end.
Yes, but why is it, though, that some people's wills always seem to be perpetually emphasized and acted out?
Those are the kind of people that have fights with their lovers and then make up. And that's the way they do it. That's the way they like it.
No, I'm talking about these bloodletters. I'm talking about these consistent wars, consistent slayings, et cetera, the things that are collapsing the morality, humanity.
That's contrast. That is us finding out, well, I'm not experiencing that. And that tells me how good I'm experiencing my life. The Armageddon happens every day. The Four Horsemen Apocalypse have forever have come out every day to lay out their thing and see who salutes the flag. Now, there are people who generally like the conflict that you get into. They like the suffering.
Right.
They enjoy it. So how do I know who's enjoying or not? So I figure, well, everybody's digging it, so whatever they're doing.
Well, you know, if they had maybe a choice, but it seems like the majority
do
not.
A
majority,
they,
the majority
do
don't seem to. Okay. Like,
well, yes. The fear mechanism makes everybody think that someone's controlling the thing to make you feel that you have no choice. And that's pretty hard to get over that hypnosis. But I advocate moving towards working on that possibility that you do have choice. Why go around deciding and concluding I don't have choice?
No, well, I'm only I'm certainly talking about the folks that aren't luckily sitting in, you know, Los Angeles right now. Maybe they are sitting in a prison in Egypt or in Palestine
in
sub-Saharan Africa.
In prison. Do you know how many people are not sitting in prison? Let's talk about them.
Well, we know that. I'm just wondering why that big majority is not hasn't flipped the script on this yet.
Humans don't care, ultimately. They're gods. They live in their own worlds. And they pretend to socially interact and overlate and relate. But you know, you talk to your private friends, Eben, about whatever social life they just went through, and they're all saying, oh, they're a bunch of jerks. Nobody is honest about the fact we're all hate. That we love the emotion of hate, and we like to feel different from other people. And we actually don't care about anybody, and we couldn't do anything to help anybody. Let's celebrate that a little bit. Let's acknowledge that reality, not as the ultimate reality, but let's stop worrying about being connected to people. You're going to be connected regardless. You got to get in your car. You got to go on the highway. You got to obey the rules on the highway. You got to listen to KPFK. You got to organize the next fundraising. All this stuff is going to happen anyways. You are more connected to everybody than you don't have to talk about it.
Okay, now will you just, you were doing a Walter Bowart there, weren't you? You were like flipping the script.
No, Groucho Marx with a little Wendell Lewis thrown in.
You are.
I don't believe in oneness, I believe in two-ness. That was Wendell Lewis's statement. He said, you must change your opinion halfway through your career. You must become the totally opposite of what you were. So, Eben, we want to get you, where would you be? We got to get you over in Fox TV working for Jerry Falwell's residue. Now, that would be a great switch in your career.
I could sit next to Pat Robertson and his big puppet head.
Yeah, and you could promote him, and you could work for him. You edit his manuscripts.
It's like a toilet paper factory.
I say think every thought that you could ever think of.
Yes.
And enjoy every thought. Don't think that what you have to, don't think your mind's going to make a conclusion. It will not make a conclusion. The information society will never make a conclusion.
Hmm.
We got treatments coming up the yin-yang with RNA drops, and they might hear about it, but they're always going to pretend, no, we need to do more research and development. That's the information plantation is run on that. So we're in, technically, a post-information society. There's no connection, and more you're going to be put into a matrix tube to rub it in your face that you got no connection to anybody.
Right. But there we have choice. There we have the love force field. there we have the idea that the upper society are the conscious people that mean something, that has traction. Everything that you were talking about on these rules, the hate is part of...
that you're less than. Don't think you're less than. You are greater than anybody you ever heard, Eben. You're greater than me.
No, you're not.
But, you know, anybody else, you're greater than. Okay?
It's not like, you know, individually. I'm just coming to you, Bob, and you really made an incredible deeply.
I've solved every problem.
It's set within these minds that were able to look backward, to look forward, to project out the possibilities of what our environment is going to be like, from McLuhan to Wyndham Lewis
George. To throw around, Evan. People are going to hear about Wyndham Lewis all the time now.
Well, it's definitely something to dip into and consider. But you know what, I love you, Bob, and I think what you do is absolutely astounding, and I really hope people engage and go to How Ionic, check you out on Achieve Radio. It's going to be
on Saturday night, up for many hours.
Yes.
I only need 3 hours sleep a night, so I'm always available, and we talk about anything. We'll be 10. I'll go on and have an opposite rant on Saturday as to what I just said today.
That's great. Absolutely. All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much. As always, being Johnny on the Spot, we have to definitely catch up, and want you to have a great day in Maui. Of course you will.
All right. Thank you, Evan. Great pleasure to be with you.
And you. Okay. Well, you guys, you were shy tonight. Bob was in the house. You didn't come on and engage. Well, there is a lot, very compelling information. Please follow up. Check out Wyndham Lewis. check out McLuhan. It is you, the quadraphenic you. All right, darlings, until next week, have a wonderful week. You've been listening to Project Next on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, archived at kpfk.org. Join us next week and help build the future.